Blog Talk Radio.
The following program is brought to you by Firefly Willows LIVE. Welcome to today's broadcast of Firefly Willows LIVE. Our hosts this week are Tarot by High Seas, High Sea Lutmers, and John Caracella, who works with runes and animal totems. We're opening up the phone lines to our listeners for live on-air readings. Do you have a concern, or is there a situation you'd like guidance with? Get your question ready and join us by calling 1-646-716-5510 or by using the Skype button on the Firefly Willows LIVE show page at Blog Talk Radio after the show begins broadcasting. We're excited. Give us a listen. Firefly Willows LIVE, helping you find and shine your inner light.
And hello, everyone, and welcome to the show today. Thank you for joining us. This is High C, and I am joined today by John Caracella. Hello, John. Well, perhaps John has not quite logged in yet. I just want to remind people that today is our show for receiving live readings right here on the air. If you would like to receive one and get into the queue, you can go to the show page and either Skype in with the little Skype button next to the phone number, or you can call in at 646-716-5510.
Sorry, hi, see, here I am.
All right. Well, welcome to the show, John. How are you?
Thank you. Not bad. I had a small power problem. my mixer was mysteriously unplugged from the wall, so that's why my mic wasn't working. But I'm here now. I'm here now.
Well, and perhaps that's a sign. Maybe we'll be having people getting readings that are having power problems, needing to find their own personal power and how to get it plugged back in.
Highly likely, highly likely. I did have a quick question for you this morning relating to power. This morning, my morning Osho Zen Tarot card was the Ten of Rainbows, and it's which would be in a normal deck the Ten of Pentacles.
That is
and
true.
That has something to do with power, doesn't it?
It does, but it shows that how we focus and put our power into the effort and work that we do is where we will see the payoff. So we might need to check as to how we're focusing and utilizing our power and whether that's paying off or bringing about the kind of results in the real world that we really want to see. And if not, then we need to perhaps check back in with how and where we're using our power.
Okay, well, excellent advice. That's the first reading for today, ladies and gentlemen.
There you go. So we already have 7 people waiting in the queue.
Well, perhaps we should engage them to tweet.
Well, okay. you said that. You said that as whatever that cartoon character is. It's the little bird because to tweet. That's very modern. Apparently, I don't want to Twitter them. So let's see. Let's go to our first person. And our first caller is calling from area code 612. Are you there, caller, from 612 area code?
Hi, yes, I'm here.
Excellent. Can you tell us your name and where you're calling from?
Sure, it's Jordana. I'm calling from Chicago.
Extraordiana is your name?
Jordana, yeah.
Oh, Jordana. I thought
we were Jordana. We're going to call you Extraordiana today.
That's right. Because we want to remind you, you are extraordinary. So
do
you have
that. Some?
Now we know so. So we want you to know. So.
Yes, I do have a question actually for you. It's a relationship question, if that's okay.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, wonderful. So I'm dating this guy. His name is Brandon, and things are going really well. I'm just wondering if, because I do feel like he's the one who I want to marry and all of that. I'm just wondering if you see that happening in the future or if you see, like, road bumps coming up.
I definitely see road bumps.
You do.
But they're not necessarily insurmountable. You need to be prepared. Any kind of relationship. I don't know if you've had a long-term committed relationship before.
I have.
Yeah, you have. So you know that it can get bumpy.
Yes, I'm well aware.
All right. So as long as you're not thinking, oh, it's fairy tale, Prince Charming kind of situation.
No.
Okay, all right. All right, good.
I just didn't know if the road bumps were going to be, crucial in determining if we pursue our relationship. Because, road bumps can be different sizes, I feel like.
Yes. Okay. All right. So let's think about and talk about the size of the road bumps. Hi, C, do you have anything percolating?
Just some coffee. the cards that came up, first of all, show a very nice aspect to the relationship because we have a lot of earth energy going on here. Earth tends to be something that helps to ground something, that gives stability and security to something, and it's what can root us for something to survive over the long term. On the one hand, we have both the Empress card and the Mother Earth or the Queen of Pentacles card showing up, and those would say that as long as we're willing to mother, which the idea of the archetypal mother is to support, encourage, nurture, cultivate things. So as long as we're willing to, it's like saying, as long as we're willing to get out into the garden and get our hands dirty, we can have a very bountiful garden. So
right.
A relationship can be very bountiful here as long as we're willing to put in the effort and do the work. The one thing that I might be concerned about as to what might be one of the bumps that you have to figure out how to best deal with is because the Empress card is the archetypal mother, and then we have the Mother Earth card. There may be a mother figure that's a little bit of a...
Oh, he's Jewish. Let me just answer that right
well,
now.
Well, there
yes,
you are.
He is Jewish. Just put that in, clarify. And not only is he Jewish, he is Middle Eastern, so it's kind of like a double whammy.
I see. So that I think both indicates not only the influence or impact that his mother may have in the relationship, as well as it colors his view of women and how they're supposed to be in a relationship. And we may need to work on cultivating a different kind of relationship with women and how they are seen in relationship by doing it, making an extra special effort to talk about those things and do those things away from and outside of the influence of his mother. And the card that came up for you is the Four of Water reversed. And when that card is reversed, it often says that there is a need to stir the pot. So I think what it's encouraging you to do is to not be afraid to stir things up a little bit. So don't, upright the Four of Water would be very placid. And that would just kind of say, oh, just kind of go with the flow, just kind of, don't cause waves. And the reversal says that we want you to be willing to cause ripples and waves by stirring up thought processes that create that ability to look at women and their role differently than what he might have simply been imprinted by, either from how he was raised in his family or from his culture or something like that. But I think the biggest roadblock for you is going to be the mother and the relationship with the mother and how much influence she is allowed to have in how the relationship operates.
Okay, that makes sense. I mean, well, and here's the thing. One thing that he has always told me is the reason he cares about me and loves me so much is because I am a lot like his mother, which is great. However, I am very independent, and he, like this past weekend, his mom told him that they were all going to a wedding. So he picked up and went to a wedding. And I was kind of like, are you kidding me? Like, you're 25 years old. So that's where my issues already lie. And I've tried to explain them. And he's like, don't worry about it. Like, right now I'm not there. So he's like, when you're back in town, it won't happen. But if it does happen, we're going to have an issue.
So the biggest thing that you're going to have to work on is, because you remind him so much of his mother, he may see you as kind of a surrogate mother figure that he will be living with, and have this anticipation that you will act like and treat him the way his mother did. And that's where you have to stir the pot, which is you have to separate out his vision and relationship with his mother from who you are, so he doesn't simply see you as a surrogate mother figure, rather than simply being your own person and having your own voice and operating in a different way.
Right. Okay.
And, Jordana, I've got cards for him that it looks like he has the potential to be overcoming a very significant kind of like coming through a soul loss experience through this relationship. And the card I got for you is actually in the deck that I have is called Pan, and this card is partly about giving yourself the freedom to indulge yourself in what makes you feel good. But it's also a cautionary tale about not overindulging and allowing something to become a codependency or an addiction.
Okay.
So
yeah, no, I don't do drugs or drinks, so I don't think that's going to happen.
No, it wouldn't be that. It would really be probably relates to this, to the way you can make him feel so good because you are his intimate partner who can also make him feel as good as his mother makes him feel. And, you know, that's a very powerful gift to have, right? The problem is there's nothing wrong with that in the sense that a healthy relationship has lots of different dynamics in it. But the trick will be to balance your ability to provide that kind of really great feeling for him and know that you have the power to do that and not take that role on as an obligation and not create an addiction to that behavior, really.
Right.
Okay. So I'm reflecting on the same kind of thing here. I think your boyfriend has the possibility to grow tremendously through this process, but you're going to have to balance your ability to wield a certain kind of power very carefully so that you don't fall into create a codependent relationship based upon this, you know, we'll call it wound on his side and capacity to deliver, to feed that wound on your side.
Right. Okay. Of course. Okay.
All right. Okay. So that's kind of where it comes down to. Be vigilant to the seduction of that cycle that might exist in your relationship.
Okay. Okay.
All right. Well, thank you very much for calling in today.
Thank you. Thank you so much for taking my call. I appreciate it. I hope you guys have a great holiday.
And we know that you are extraordinary, simply by the way you introduced yourself this morning.
Oh, thank you.
That's right. I think it's time for you to adopt that name, Extraordiana.
Yes, I'll work on it.
All right. Have a great
evening. Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay, so now on to our next caller, and this is someone who is calling from area code 207. Are you there, area code 207?
Yes, I am. My name is Tom. I'm calling from Northern Maine.
Northern Maine. Is the weather beautiful?
No, not right now, I don't think.
Not right now, no. It's been raining forever.
Oh, dear. Wow.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to ask what it is that you were calling to ask us today.
Oh, I had a situation in my marriage where we've been married 25 years, and another woman came into our relationship, and by way of phone and text, and I'd like to know, is this really over now? Has she gone?
So when you say that another woman came into the relationship, I mean, is this somebody that just appeared out of nowhere, or did somebody somehow invite her into the relationship?
Actually, she supposedly found me I knew her 40 years ago as a girlfriend when I was 15.
Wow.
And okay.
She found me on Facebook. Yeah, she found me on Facebook.
But this was unsolicited by you.
Exactly.
Okay.
And did it stir you? Were you excited, and do you want to pursue that, how do you feel about this with respect to your marriage? I guess is the question.
Very disrespectful now.
So you would prefer to, do you want to stay with your wife?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. No doubts about it. It was the wrong thing for me to do, and I disrespected my family, and I should be shot several times in the back.
Oh, well, no. Now, let us relax there. And
I'm a strong individual.
Well, let's put it this way.
It almost blows out divorce.
Well, you know, that'll happen. But
yeah.
But there's a teaching in everything, right? The universe wastes nothing. So you did what you did. You got involved in the situation you got involved in for no doubt a variety of reasons. And it's really, really important that you understand why this happened. There's something in you that had a longing, that was tickled, that was thrilled, that was attracted to the opportunity that was presented to you. And that's to deny that as a truth is to miss a huge part of the lesson. Okay? You are who you are, and to try to effectuate and manage change without knowing who you really are it's like saying, well, I'm sure there's lots of analogies, but you have to acknowledge that's who you are. That's what happened, right? And there was a reason why. So allowing yourself, sure, you can, you know, feel justified in punishing yourself, and you know, we all do that. That's totally normal, right? You put your something that you really valued at risk. I get it. I know that feeling, and that's totally understandable and reasonable for you to critique yourself. But don't throw away the key point here that something happened because that's who you were in that moment. And understanding what that need was and bringing it forward to your wife, to your partner, and saying, look, you know, this is a tricky thing to talk about, and maybe you don't do it via words, but you know, relate to your partner in a way that makes your needs known. It's really important. If you can't do that, you run the risk of trying to continue to subvert and stuff aspects of yourself into, you know, under the rug, and that promises to bring more pain, right? So that's kind of a long story before we get to the cards, but it's really important that you recognize an aspect of yourself that was in need. Now, you can do a better job. Let's just postulate that you can do a better job of meeting that need without risking the things that are dear to you. But that now it's incumbent upon you to get your act together and understand who you are and what your needs are so that you can present them in a way that allows you to be a whole person. Right? And that's the first card that I got for you was the need to apply effort so that you can readjust the circumstances around you. Now, you asked if she was gone. Is that really the question you want answered?
Is she out of my life for good? Yeah.
Well, the question...
Or is she going to step back in?
The question is not whether she's out of your life, but whether you have chosen to have her out of your life.
Absolutely.
Then she's out.
No. Yes, no doubt about it.
So do you need help keeping her out of your life? Do you need help?
Excuse me?
Do you know what I mean?
Do I need help keeping her out of my life?
Yeah. In other words, do you feel like you'll be tempted again or anything like that?
No. I don't even know what her motive was. She read my profile and saw that I had just celebrated the 25-year anniversary. And underneath that was a picture of the anniversary ring that I presented to my wife.
Yeah. Well, she's probably lonely. That'd be my guess. But if the bottom line here is if you have decided to have her out of your life, then there really is very little that she can do other than harass you mercilessly. But even if she harasses you mercilessly, you can just ignore her. So it is totally within your power. But you have to have the power. You have to own the power. And you have to be clear about that being your choice. And that's what the cards are telling me. It's like, this is up to you, man. And your willpower is all that it requires. So is that what you really want?
I want her gone for good.
Does she live nearby you?
No, she's a few states away.
Oh, then consider the nature of your question. How could she be in your life if you didn't want her to be?
I don't need texts and phone calls and IMs and any communications.
So you are completely in control of all of that information. All of the ways that she can reach you, you're in control of.
Yes.
Then just make it impossible for her to contact you and you're done. But it's up to you to do that. Don't ask her to withhold herself. You have to be the one in the position of power here. Do you follow me?
Yes, I do.
And that's what I meant when I said, do you need help with that?
I see.
Because it all comes down to your guts and your heart, to be truthful. Because like I said, this happened for a reason.
I know what my reason is.
Well, that's the only reason you need to know. Do you know what I mean? Right? Everything else is window dressing. It really comes down to you knowing yourself well enough to understand why this happened, what need you were attempting to have filled, how you're going to get that need filled in the context of the relationship you have and the willpower you have to stay that course. As far as the universe is concerned,
Well, the universe, I believe, put my wife and I back together.
Right. Okay.
I mean, she left with our daughter, and that was that. She was two steps from being gone for good.
Yeah.
With
yeah.
no place to go. And we're back together now. She's back in the home where we belong. We know that we belong here.
Well, it's going to take probably a little while to rebuild the you know, your relationship around deep trust and stuff like
yes.
that.
Yes, that was a part two of my question. How do you see that going?
Hi, C, do you want to jump in here a little?
There's a lot of jumping.
Yeah,
high.
But High C is very talented. That's why his name is High C.
Okay.
So the first thing I want to reiterate is something John said, because when I pulled cards specifically looking at this other person, it came up with the One of Wind or the Ace of Swords. That would immediately indicate that she will probably make an attempt to communicate with you again. So you need to make sure that you have done everything you can to disconnect from her, to cut off all forms of communication that she might be able to reach you at. And I know that sometimes it's a bit of a hassle, but it may mean that you have to change your phone number so that she wouldn't be able to text you if you're not able to block her from doing that or that kind of thing. The nice thing that I see with the cards that came up is that, you know, there's a number of cards that appeared that would often be seen as indicating divorce or the end of a relationship or something like that. But all of those cards came up reversed, meaning they came up upside down. So that shows us, you know, the classic card for divorce. One of them is the Five of Swords. That card came up reversed.
Five of Swords.
Yeah, but it came up reversed. Right. And so the reversal says that we're not likely to go, that's not likely to happen. And then the reversed death card came up. And when the reversed death card comes up, it says there's still life left in something, or something has not come to an end or died. So I think that this is certainly showing that the relationship itself, it still has some life left in it, and we can resuscitate it. One thing that it shows for your wife is the reversed strength card, and that shows us that this, I mean, obviously this weakened her trust and that kind of thing, but it also is a card of self-confidence and self-worth and self-esteem. And so the reversal of it shows us that this has really impacted her sense of self-worth and self-confidence and self-esteem in terms of her role in the relationship, how you see her, and that kind of thing. And the Tower card appears, which one shows us that this kind of blew the relationship out of the water in a sense, but it gives us the opportunity to rebuild from the ground up. So it's not just about putting a Band-Aid on this situation. It's about using this opportunity to engage in a conversation and a process that allows you to recommit to each other by rebuilding the relationship one stone at a time from the ground up.
Yes.
And reestablish that foundation and create the relationship in a whole new way. And part of that is going to be something that John was talking about, where you have to look at what is it that triggered you to want to somehow respond to this person. You know, were you feeling like you wondered if you were still attractive anymore? Because when we've been in a relationship for a long time, sometimes we start to take them for granted. We forget to say things or do things that remind them that they are attractive or special or, you know, whatever to us, because we're just used to them being there. And then somebody mm-hmm. comes along and strokes our ego by suddenly flattering us or, you know, making us feel wanted and attractive or sexually desirable or whatever. And this is where you have to look at what it was about this situation that was the trigger for you, and then be willing to engage in that conversation with your wife, not to like say, you're not doing this, you're not doing this, this is why this happened, but so that both of you can start to recognize where you have started taking each other for granted and how you may need to start speaking and acting differently to remind each other of what it is you mean to each other and what this relationship means to you. And that's that rebuilding process from the ground up. So it certainly shows great possibility and potential for being able to reestablish the relationship as long as you're willing to go through those processes and those conversations at this point. By using this as an opportunity rather than simply looking at it as, oh, why did this have to happen?
That's a mouthful.
It is.
Yeah, but this is the thing, yeah. Man. You know, you really have to own it. You have to own what happened. And I don't mean take the blame for it. That is totally not what I mean. I mean understand who you are. Not who you would like to be, not who your wife thinks you are, but who you are.
Yeah. Oh, I take the blame for my part of it.
Yeah, but that's okay. But it's really important here, and I don't mean I'm cutting you off because I want to forestall something. Blame is pointless. So allow me to say, you've done the blame thing. You've blamed yourself. It's all done. Take it out to the trash. You should never think about that, work with that, manipulate that, play around with that in your head. You're done with that. You've blamed yourself. I know you have. I can feel it. Now, the question is, what do you do next? And recycling the blame part only keeps you in the place where you were naughty. But that's not the point. The point is, you are who you are. Now, the naughty part, the naughty boy that did the wrong thing, the bad man that did the wrong thing, that's a judgment. You've already done that. It's over. Forget it. Now you need to say, who is that guy and why? You have to own the whole process that created that in you. And it might have started back when you were 15 years old. It might have started when you were 5. It doesn't matter. Own it. Understand yourself. And then take that person to your wife and say, look, I'm really working hard to figure out all this stuff about myself. I need you to understand that this is what I'm doing, and whoever it turns out I am, that's the guy you married. And I want to continue to be in relationship with you, but you need to know who I am. And I want to know who you are deep down. This is where intimacy gets built. You with me?
I'm with you.
This is not... You know, I see totally like it is, right? This is not an easy fix. This is not a quick fix. This is not an old-fashioned kind of fix. This is a new-fashioned kind of deep heart-centered. You got to really get into your heart and come to know yourself and be compassionate with yourself, because you're going to find things inside yourself that on one level, you're not going to like very much.
Not at all.
But you have to understand why they're there, how they got there.
That's right. How they got there and why, yeah.
Right. And you know what will happen is when you stop judging them, you start seeing them as circumstances that just visited themselves upon you, and they will enlighten you. They will open your eyes to the nature of who you are. And trust me, if you do it right, you'll discover that every single one of them was a gift. You've got to stop judging yourself and start owning yourself. And it makes all the difference in the world. Do you understand what I'm saying?
I sure do.
Okay. Well, I think that's just bear that in mind. That blame is attached to the judge, and you've already done that. So leave that on the side of the road with the trash this week.
It's gone already.
Good. Excellent.
Is there anything else I should watch out for or do coming up? Or I know that's a big...
That's a big secondary question. You know, what I'm what I'm getting.
Surprises or anything, or I know to stop the communications and the owning up to and the searching and.
The thing that comes to mind is be compassionate with yourself. Be compassionate with yourself. You got to take care of yourself. You experienced a trauma and a wound, and you also need to be compassionate with your wife because she experienced a trauma and a wound. You both just came out of a battle where a lot of damage happened. So be compassionate, take it slow, be patient. That's what I get. I see any thoughts from you?
Well, I think that we've certainly given you plenty of work to start with. And worrying about something else or what's next really is counterproductive because it distracts from what you need to just start doing now. So I would encourage you to just think about what we've said here, start figuring out how you can maybe work with that or put that into practice. And then I would encourage you perhaps call in to a future show and check in with us to let us know how it's going. And then we can look at see where you're at that point and what might be the next step. Don't overwhelm yourself with trying to do too many things or figure out too many things all at once. Just take it one step at a time. All right?
Okay. Very good.
All right.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
For calling in.
Thank you very much for calling in.
Yeah. Fun topic, huh?
Yeah. But know that you're not alone in dealing with these kind of things. So, you know, it's many people would understand what you're going through.
Yeah, mainly with men. Thank you.
Well, hopefully we'll hear from you. Hopefully we'll hear from you in the future.
Okay, bye-bye.
All right. And I think with that, we will take a very, very quick break. And when we come back, we're going for someone in area code 631. So if you're calling from area code 631, prepare yourself. John and I are coming for you.
At Firefly Willows, LIVE, we're working hard to be your trusted source for fun, enlightening, and heart-centered information and community. And we're passionate about the art of transformative media, the new leading edge of communication in our highly connected, media-rich world. If you're passionate about facilitating change and you have gifts or ideas you'd like to share, come join us. Host a show or be a guest or connect us to an amazing speaker or teacher whose message is too good to miss. There's always room for courageous, knowledgeable changemakers, inspired artists, and new ideas. Let us know you're interested. Send an email to info@fireflywillows.com. We're Firefly Willows, LIVE, helping you find and shine your inner light.
And we are back. Are you back with us, John?
I am here.
All right. Just making sure there's no power outages or something. So now we are going to travel along to area code 631. Are you there, area code 631?
Yes, I am. How
All
are
right.
you?
And you
My name is Suzanne.
And where are you calling from?
Long Island.
All right. You might have to turn the speakers on your computer down.
I don't have it off. Okay, I'm fine now.
Okay. Well.
I have a quick question for you. Hello?
Sure. Yeah, sure. Go ahead.
Sorry. I have two questions. My first question is I'm seeing a man that begins, his name's Sean. Do you see a future with that?
Okay, give us a minute. I'm sorry, what was your name again?
Suzanne,
okay.
So, The cards that came up show us that... Are you calling from a phone or from Skype?
Phone.
Okay. Is it possible to mute your computer? Because it's echoing.
I don't have my computer on.
Oh.
Well, that's odd.
All right, then. There seems to be an indication that the challenge for this relationship to go long-term is he may be a bit stubborn or set in his ways, and he may have a sense of how he wants or needs things to be. But what this relationship wants and needs is something unconventional.
Yeah, you're and, right. You're right. Oh, my God. You know, but do you see a future or no?
Well, the challenge is that he may be a bit too narrow-focused in how he thinks something should be and isn't able to see or approach it in that exceptional kind of way.
Oh,
and so he may it's like he gets in his own way because he can't see how something could work outside of either the traditional way or just the way that he envisions it being.
You're right, yeah. So what do I do?
Well, the challenge there is that ultimately we can't change somebody else.
So I just say forget about it then?
Well, no. You can present to him and try to encourage him to see and experience something that goes outside of his comfort zone, outside of his box. But if he's not willing to do that, then it'll be like hitting your head against the wall over and over again. If you see that he's willing to start trying that, then great. And you can.
I don't know if he is. You're right. You hit it on the noggin. I don't know if he is.
Okay, so here's the thing. Tell me, what was his name again?
Sean.
Tell me what he's awesome at.
He can fix things, he can make me laugh, he's very smart, and he's cute.
Okay, so what do you, the key, and what are you really great at?
I think making people laugh, making people feel comfortable, trying to be outgoing or shy at some times, a good mother, things like that.
Okay. So the best way to engage in a relationship with a man is to seduce him into his gifts.
Well, you know what it is? You were right about unconventional. I'm older than him.
Ah, right. Okay. Well, here's the thing. How much older are you?
I'm 52 and he's 35.
So his challenge, or the challenge with him, is he needs to feel like he's the man. And he kind of is buying into the archetypes or the stereotypes of what it means to be a man in a relationship. And one thing that you mentioned that I think probably is indicated here is he likes to fix things. And if there isn't something that needs his fix, then he doesn't feel that there's any purpose or need for him to be there.
Yeah, you're right. He gives advice a lot.
Yeah, but that can be very challenging because you may not want to be fixed all the time, and you may not have something that needs to be fixed. But for him, that's where his sense of masculinity and being a man kind of comes from.
And then I'm worried that he's going to, even though I feel younger and I don't look horrible, I'm thinking that he's going to find somebody younger.
Well, this doesn't have so much to do with age as it does simply with how he views the other person he's in relationship with. As long as they need him, as long as they have something that he can fix, then he feels like that's who he needs to be in relationship with.
Well, but if somebody we've known each other like a year and a half now, but he hasn't introduced. He's met my friends, but I haven't met his.
Well, that you may take that as an indication as well that he doesn't seem to want to invite you into his world.
So then I know, so I guess I just have to find somebody else.
Well, this it doesn't seem that this has a very far or very much to go towards at this point. And I would encourage you to at least keep your options open and perhaps just start exploring.
Do you see anybody else for me? Do you see anybody else coming in for me?
Well, it's going to be very dependent on whether you are willing to open up that space and start the process of looking.
I am. I have been.
Okay. Then this particular situation is like it's like a hurdle that's getting in the way of not only you being able to move forward, but for other opportunities and people to be able to come in. And
right.
You have to decide if you want to remove this hurdle or not, so that it opens up the path for those other opportunities to be able to actually access you.
Okay.
But I would encourage you to start going down that road.
And cultivate your expressiveness. Cultivate your whimsical, playful, joyful nature.
Okay, and my other question quickly is, my son, I have a gut feeling he's 12. He lives with his dad right now. Do you see him moving back like September, October, November?
Moving back with you, you mean?
Yeah, he's been with his dad 2.5 years. I used to have him until he was almost 10.
Was there a change in a custody agreement or something? Or
yeah,
just...
yeah, there was, just because he fought it and fought it and fought it. But I just see it in my son's eyes that I think he wants to come back now. Hello?
I'm with you.
We're here. We just go quiet for a moment because we mute our microphone so you don't hear us shuffling cards. Well, I have to say, everything that came up for me would say that that doesn't seem to be what's on the horizon. Either we could look at this and say that what you may be hoping for or wishing for is not going to come about, at least in the near term, and that there still are some obstacles that are getting in the way or preventing that from happening, at least in the time frame that you are asking about.
Oh, boy, great news. I'm not going to go out with the old boyfriend and I get my son. This is a really good day. Any positive notes?
Cultivate your expressiveness.
Well, the positive note is that if you choose to start to move away from the person you're going out with right now, that's going to open up the possibility and access for other relationships to come in. So there are other things out there. It's just that you have to make the way clear for them to be able to get to you.
And so you don't see my son ever coming back?
Well, it's not that it's never coming back. It's just that in regard to the particular time frame you asked about, September, October, November, then I would say...
When do you see it then?
Well, one thing that this is indicating is that there's probably still there's still a struggle. There's still an agreement that has to be hashed out for that to happen. And I think it's going to take a much longer period of time than just by September, October, November.
So when do you see that, though?
Well, I would anticipate it would probably go through next summer.
But you maybe see him come back next September?
It's possible, but I think there's a... Go ahead, Isaac.
I was just saying, what I would say that for the card that came up asking about when, it would say probably she would finally have things worked out, and it would probably be able to happen 3 years from when he stopped living with you. So you said it's been 2 years, right?
No, 2.5. Over 2.5. It's going to be January, February, March, April, May. 2 years and 5 months. So that's because I called another psychic and they said November, and if you count 3 years, that's November.
Okay, but I it's going to happen after the 3 year mark. So it's like saying live where he's at for 3 years, and that there's still something that has to be hashed out. And the fact that so many of these cards came up reversed can show that there either is a delay or an obstacle to being able to come to an agreement quickly or as soon as you...
Well, this December it'll be 3 years.
Okay. So that's why I think that probably what we see is there's the hashing out time and that it may not be until next summer.
Okay, that would be fine as long as it's, you know, then. Yeah.
Well, yeah.
But remember that it doesn't happen unless the work is done.
Well, I don't really, what am I going to do, keep going back to court? No. I'm not a bad mother or anything like that.
It's not about that. It's about coming to an understanding of the tensions that existed in your relationship with your ex.
Well, I couldn't help that. He wouldn't talk to me for 12 years, or even, I have to fax him, it's not me. And he fought to take my son away for no really reason. He had more money. So, yeah, there was tension there, but I'm trying to get over that, and I have. It's not a nice thing.
No, it sounds like a terrible thing.
Right.
But that's where I think that they're hashing something out, that there still is something that has to, a new agreement or something has to be worked out or hashed out. And the cards that keep coming up are the Five of Wands, the Three of Pentacles, and those both are cards that indicate collaboration, teamwork. So there's a sense of perhaps having to do it through some other intermediary rather than just between the two of you.
Well, I have a counselor that's sort of on mine and my son's side, so I'm thinking, you know, I thought it could be sooner, but my son just in December going to say he wants to live with me, and then it takes till the next summer.
Well, does your son have that choice? Was it within his power?
I don't know. He'll be 13 in February.
That I think is part of the process you have to start figuring out. Is how can that happen? What are the steps that have to be taken? And how much say does the son have? How much weight does that carry? And that's going to have to go through that intermediary process.
Okay. And real quick, do you think I should have one more talk with this person who's 35 or forget it?
Do you enjoy the time you spend with him?
Yes.
Does he enjoy the time he spends with you?
Yes.
Well, why don't you just ask him?
I'm chicken.
Well, if you're at the point where you're about to say, I'm not going to see this guy again, and you're not going to ask him?
Because I think I know what his answer is going to be.
But it's okay if the answer is he doesn't want to do anything serious with you because you're so much older. Right? You can't blame, in a way, you can't blame the guy, right? He is who he is. He's going to be who he is, right? But you enjoy each other's company. And so you're bringing each other joy right now. The question of whether you're a good long-term match, it should be asked.
Oh, all right. Well, thank you.
Okay.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Thank you for calling in. So we'll go to our next caller, and they're in area code 310, which I think is Southern California. Are you there, area code 310?
Yes, I am. Hi.
Hi. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Vince, and I'm calling from Los Angeles.
Hey, Vince.
All right. Welcome to the show. Do you have something you'd like to ask us about today?
Yeah, I've been out of work for quite some time, and the last couple of job opportunities that I had that I thought I was going to get, one I didn't get, and the other one is on hold right now. I just spoke to the HR girl last week, and I've been trying like crazy trying to find a job. And right now we're like $3,000 behind in rent, and bills piling up. And I, last couple of nights I've had recurring dreams that I just can't find anything. So I'm wondering, do you see me losing everything and being homeless, or is there a job coming for me?
So give us a little bit more on your circumstances. Do you have a family with you? Or?
Well, it's just my wife and I.
Okay.
My family is living back east in Toronto, and her daughter's living in New York.
Okay. Well, first I'm going to say that there is a ray of hope. There is a light at the end of the tunnel, because the Star card comes up, and the Star card is a card that reminds us not to lose hope, but to have faith, even in the darkest of times. And it's a card that says there's a light at the end of the tunnel, and that we are likely to get what we wish for. But here you have to be really careful, and you have to start thinking about what it is you really want and are wishing for in terms of a job. Don't just wish for a job, but be more clear and specific in what you would like that job to be. You know, what qualities, what challenges, what responsibilities, what does that look like? Because the Star card is very much about getting what you wish for. But that's that old adage of be careful what you wish for, because you want to be very clear in not just asking for a job, but asking for the right kind of job for you. But the fact that it came up here says that if we have faith, that there, then that will likely come about, that there is hope that things are going to be shifting. And I would anticipate that it will probably start to move forward, well, within the next 1 to 3 months, first of all. It may be something that you have to just kind of fight for. It also, because the card that's coming up is a very fast kind of card. And by fight for, I just mean that you may have to be willing to go in and sell yourself, or you may have to be willing to go in, and there's other people applying, obviously, but if you fight for it, you're willing to be victorious, in a sense. But it's going to probably depend on your communication skills and abilities. So again, that goes back to making sure you know what you're looking for and how to communicate who you are, what you have to offer, and what it is that you're looking for or wanting from the kind of job or place that you are working at. So when you interact with people that are interviewing you, etc., there's a need to really make sure you're very clear and very focused and very specific. And the... And I did pull cards specifically for the jobs that you mentioned. So there was one, I think, that you said went away, and then there was one that was put on hold.
Right.
And, you know, this would indicate that probably neither of those are what it's going to be, but I always then pull a card for or something else that we haven't mentioned or thought about. And that's where we get the Six of Water. And interestingly, the word that's on this card in the deck I'm using is faith. For Six of Water. So it reminds us to have faith that there is another job out there that will be right for you. Six of Water is also a card of being offered something. So it also comes up and says there's another job, that either another job offer or another job that's going to be offered to you. And it may involve having to start in something like in a position or a level that is a little bit less than what you had been in previously, but it will have room for growth and advancement. Six of Water can be a card of nostalgia or childhood, so it can also indicate something that you may have done in the past that you want to revisit. It may be something that you had wanted to do when you were a child that you always had dreamed about or thought about doing, and it's time to pursue doing something along those lines in some way, or that fulfill some of the qualities of what it is that you wanted to do when you were a child. I mean, there can be very literal aspects to this, that it could be something where you are a mentor or you're being mentored, which is why you may feel like you're starting in something a little bit less, like a little lower level or something, because it's like you have to work under somebody else's tutelage in order to be brought up to speed or something. And Six of Water would indicate the 6th month, so that would indicate June. So I would really pay attention to opportunities and things that you find during June, because they seem to have quite the auspicious aspect to them of being what will end up being an offer for you, or something that will, where your faith will pay off, or you getting what it is that you wish for. So I think that probably June is kind of a turning point for you. And there's, you know, the long-term card is the Father Water card, which is a card of healing. So, I mean, there's a sense of giving you hope and restoring faith that all hope is not lost, that you're not going to lose everything. And I think that you're going to see this shift starting around June. And either you'll get an offer in June, or you want to pay attention to what opportunities you find during June, because those will most likely turn into some sort of an offer.
And June is not very far away.
Yeah,
so that's good.
Because see, I've always been in the manufacturing and production industry, and I've always worked. I've had a couple of jobs at 2 different breweries back east, and I've worked for a couple of soft drink companies. And recently, right now I want a job back in the manufacturing industry, just so I can pay bills and whatnot. But the thing that I've always wanted to do was, ever since I was a little kid, as long back as I can remember, is become an actor and a writer. But I need a job right now to pay the bills. Now, I have applied for a couple of jobs with 7-Up and then a couple of different breweries, like smaller breweries in California. And I'm hoping that one of these jobs comes through, and this way that'll give me a new avenue, a new perspective, so I can feel better about myself and move on to what I really want to do. But at least just be in a comfort zone that I can finally take care of bills and get my wife and I into the dentist and get our teeth fixed, because she's in a lot of pain right now, and just a lot of things, just a lot of issues happening right now.
Well, I'm gonna say something that's gonna sound a little odd. Are you sure you're in the right city?
That's funny, because you're not the first one to ask me that. There were a couple, but see, the thing is, I felt like I need to be here because of my acting and everything.
No, I don't think you do. I don't think you do. I think one of the challenges that you're facing is that you have a kind of an attachment to Hollywood as being the place where acting happens. And sure, there's tons and tons of opportunity there, but there's also tons and tons of competition there.
Right.
And, you know, the first impression that I got before I drew any cards, when you asked about, when you first asked your question, the first thing that came to me was, you're in the wrong town. So, I think pursuing something that you love, acting, performing, that can take many, many, many forms. And, I got the Justice card for you as well, which is, everything is a balancing act, and clarity is really essential, right? Understanding not being wedded to one particular thing, whether it's attachment to the style of work that you get or the place in which it happens. If you are stuck on something, if you're holding on to something as it has to be this way, that's where the universe can't move. It can't give you what it's really destined for you, because you're holding on to something.
Yeah.
But the other 3 cards that I drew for you are all Pentacles cards. They're maker cards, and one of them shows an image of a being planting an acorn, and this gigantic tree emerging, the spiritual tree emerging behind her, basking in the sun. And also got the Ace of Pentacles, or the Maker in this deck, is called Earth, and Maker 3, which is labor's fruit. So, you know, you do have, it does look like the universe is trying to line something up for you that is going to respond to your effort. But I think there's something that is blocking your ability to perceive clearly the whole landscape in which you can, in which you're being invited to operate. So maybe a change of town would be, you know, and you know, you worked in breweries back east.
Yeah.
You know, that could be a cool job, and that could be a cool place to cultivate. I don't know. Maybe you start doing videos of yourself as a brewmaster. I mean, I don't know, right? Who knows? But, you know, think outside the box here.
Well, I think that the Six of Cups that I had was showing that perhaps considering a return to some place from childhood or simply from the past that you have nostalgic or positive memories from may be where some opportunities lie for you rather than where you're at right now. And okay. The star card can say, in order for your star to be able to shine, is it getting lost amidst the massive number of other people who are trying to shine their stars in LA, versus if you go back to someplace else, there's acting opportunities and writing opportunities everywhere. And
right.
So you may have a greater opportunity to shine brighter someplace where it's not quite so competitive and you're not one of a billion stars versus you're simply one of a small constellation in that area, so that each star has its ability to shine.
Yeah, you can develop your chops that way too. You know, you have the opportunity to practice in an environment where you're going to get the opportunity to practice because there aren't a million people trying to do it.
Right.
You know. So,
but I think it
might seem a little overwhelming now, you know, with being behind in rent and so on and so forth. But the star card, I mean, High C's right. You're loved. You are loved by the stars. And that's it's important that you find a way to cultivate hope and excitement about the possibilities that are waiting for you in order to really allow them to bear fruit in your world. So try to think of a way, you know, and maybe it is thinking, as High C pointed out, thinking about a place back east or a place from your past where you felt really good. And go remember what that feeling feels like and go feel it, you know, and let that circulate in your system a little bit and see what shifts in you.
Yeah. Okay. But you see June being...
well, I think June is a very key time, and especially if you looked to some of those other places that you might consider moving back to, you would probably discover some very interesting and lucrative opportunities that have greater ability to come about quicker.
Yeah, the only thing is I can't stand winters. that's my biggest issue, the winters.
Well,
okay. Don't listen. Don't lock yourself out. Right. I had a friend of mine who said, a man should be at least as intelligent as a goose. And geese fly south for the winter. Right.
That's
so
true.
Leave yourself. Let it be open ended. That, you know what? If you can't stand winters, then the circumstances that will emerge for you are ones that will allow you to spend the winters where you're comfortable.
Yeah.
And that goes back to being clear in what you're wishing for and start to formulate that intention, that vision much more specifically, where it's maybe going back someplace, but it's something that offers you the opportunity, you know, be like going back and working at a school or something, and then being able to leave during the winter or whatever.
Being a beverage rep and having a southern territory or something like that, you know, I mean, there's all kinds of things that you could do.
Yeah.
So hopefully that helped a little bit.
Yeah, it does. It does.
All right. Well, thank you for calling in.
Thank you.
And we wish you much luck.
Thanks.
Let us know how it turns out.
All right. And with that, we will be back in just a minute.
1, 2, 1, 2, 3, 4.
January, February, March, the days are marching forward. April, May, June, and July, they fly like a hummingbird. August, September, October, the year is almost over. November, December arrives, another year.
As promised, we're always thinking of ways to bring you a fresh new perspective. Check out this lineup of our newest shows. The Amethyst Oracle, Divination with a Queer Twist, featuring Firefly Willow's LIVE favorite, Heisey Lutmers, and his co-host, Charlie Harrington, on the second Tuesday evening each month. A Shamanic Life, hosted by John Carosella, on the first and third Tuesday evenings each month. The brand new Embracing Change, The Joy of a New Path, with career coach Ivan Teams and John Carosella, the fourth Tuesday evening of each month. What's Your Prescription for Balance? With Mildred Lynn McDonald and her co-host, Dr. Glenna Calder, the first Thursday afternoon each month. And Evolve, with Robin White Turtle Lisney, the third Thursday afternoon each month. We're excited. Give us a listen as we continue to create new and entertaining ways for you to shine your inner light. Join us at Firefly Willows, LIVE.
And we are back, and we are going to just continue jumping right in here to people that are waiting on the line. So now this one I think is someone calling from Skype, because of the way the phone number shows. Let's see if that person is there. Hi, are you there, caller? Calling from Skype? Calling from area code 111? But I think all ones is a Skype call.
Yeah, I think my studio does not show that caller. I see. Maybe okay. that person went
all
away.
Right. Maybe they've already gone away.
But I do want to take this brief moment to encourage folks to call in on Tuesday night if you have career questions. And we're certainly career questions are great here, as you just heard our counsel for Vince. But Tuesday night, Embracing Change, Joy of a New Path, is a cool opportunity for you to talk to a career coach. Ivan is a very positive an inspiring career coach that can help you see things about yourself that you might not have realized and understand and identify talents that you have to bring to bear to your job and career search and the changes that you might be either wanting to make or being forced to make that can really make a difference in your life. So check it out Tuesday night. We'll be here.
Okay. Well, then we will give a try for area code 857. Seven. Are you there?
Hi.
Calling from 85? Oh, hello. What's your name?
My name is Linda. I'm calling from Massachusetts.
All right. And what is it that you'd like to ask about today?
Well, it is career related.
Okay, that's all right.
I recently was let go from my job, and I have been wanting to launch an enterprise of my own, and I'm just trying to figure out if this is a great time to do it. I don't know necessarily where the funding is going to come from this, but I kind of don't have it in me to go back into something just for the money.
Okay, give us a minute. I'm going to start shaking some runes here, so I'm going to turn my mic all the way down.
Let's see. So one thing I will say is that this is a really, astrologically, this week is a really great week for networking and making connections for either bringing in new things or creating new opportunities and that kind of thing. So
okay.
I would use this week especially for more of a maybe information gathering process by reaching out and connecting to people in your network, asking them what do they think about your idea, what input or suggestions they might have, what they see you as really able or capable to do, as well as they may then hear what you are wanting to do and say, oh, you know, I know somebody that's interested in doing something like that. Let me have you talk to them or whatever. This would be a really, really important key week energetically to be doing that. And I'm... I'm looking at the cards that came up, and I have some concerns about trying to do this. What's your time frame for when you would need to either start doing this or need to get another job?
I mean, I probably should be applying while I'm doing this. My only concern is I have to get off this merry-go-round of getting a job because I need a job. I have to be strategic in what it is that I do moving forward. And I know that I need an income. So, you know, the first thing that we all normally do is when you don't have a job is you take the first thing that comes. Well, I've been doing that for, it took me a little while to finish both undergrad and graduate school. And so that's what I've been doing for the last 12 years. And I've been on this merry-go-round where I'm just taking jobs, but there's no passion, there's no fulfillment, and I'm not being strategic because by the time I go to be strategic to look for something that I want, I'm depressed. I can't do that anymore.
That's a classic symptom.
Right.
You need to do what you love, girl. You need to do what you love.
Exactly, which is why I'm asking what I'm asking. I mean, I know that I need money. I've applied for unemployment. Ideally, you know, I'd like to really get my launch, you know, at the end of the year or maybe sometime the beginning of next year, really launch this thing. I know that there's a research process. I know that things need to happen, and I'm aware of that, but I just don't have it in me just to just take any old job anymore. I can't do it. I don't have it in me to do. My spirit...
Well, how would it help your spirit if you are able to be very intentional in the stress using taking a job at the moment by continuing to work on the thing that you want to be doing? Sorry about that.
It would have to be somewhat related to where it is I'm going professionally with my own venture.
So make that part of your strategy. Look for something that is going to either help you develop skill or even just to be able to observe how someone is doing something that you would apply to what it is you want to do. And if you go into it and work with it knowing that's your focus, but knowing it's something temporary because it's simply serving the purpose as you are getting the other thing up to where it needs to be to take off on its own, then you may find that your mental state doesn't go to the negative place because you feel like you're now stuck in a job you don't want to be doing. And because there's a lot here that seems to indicate that there is some more gestation time that is needed before something is ready or able to come to light or come into the light of day. And part of that gestation time is the information gathering stage, because we have two cards coming up that are swords, and swords tends to be about the intellectual process, communication, research, and that kind of thing. And that seems to be what's needed at least for the next few months. The nice thing is that the Ten of Wind comes up in the, and it says that Ten of Wind is like a card that says we're nearing the end of a particularly difficult, stressful, painful, or negative phase or period. So if we think of that in terms of your work situation, this work phase, we're nearing the end, but the Ten of Wands says there's still something left that needs to be done before we're ready to leave this phase behind and move into the new. So that, I think, is where finding another job for the moment, but knowing, A, it's simply a temporary thing serving the purpose as a bridge to move from this phase to the next phase while you continue working on the development of what it is you want to be doing. And two, strategizing by looking for a job that at least in some way is teaching you or allowing you to observe something that is going to be applicable to what it is that you want to do. That, and both of those things, I think, will serve you very well. I would say that whatever it is that you want to do isn't going to be really at a point where it's ready to be considered to take out into the world, which is like the giving birth process versus gestation, until after, well, after October, after Scorpio, which, so by the end of the year, and that's why we need to make this a very strategic information gathering period. And that, I think, is going to happen by, I know it sounds kind of harsh to say it this way, but just kind of sucking it up and getting another job, but doing it very almost surgically, strategically.
And I'm all for strategic. It's just a matter of me landing. I mean, there's one job in particular. I love the organization. The job, last time I checked, was open last week. I love the organization. The pay is decent. Like, I'm okay with that. I would love to apply that. I think I could be comfortable there. I honestly do. It's just a matter of, okay, once I put this out there, is the universe going to match me and give me what it is that I'm asking for?
Well, yes. So apply for that. But the thing you have to be really careful about is what you just said, that you would be really comfortable there. And we don't want you
comfortable to the point where I'm staying. I mean, just comfortable to the point where it's like, okay, I loved your organizational mission. I like the work that you do in the community, and it's aligned with what it is that I want to do, your role. I could be comfortable. I don't foresee myself crying in the bathroom because I don't want to be there. That's
right.
What I meant about.
So when you asked about that particular place, I pulled a card, and it's the reversed moon card. And that says it's time to come out of the shadows. It also says what you see is what you get. So the way that you're perceiving that job is probably what you're going to experience or get from it.
Okay.
But it does encourage you not to hide away, which also is saying that it's time to step out of the shadows now, to not linger, to not wait to apply there versus make yourself known, shine a light on yourself now rather than later. But it does have a positive aspect to it, because it says that this seems to be something that will help to move you out of this period of either depression or feeling as if we're in, you know, sinking into a black hole of can't come out of it emotion.
And
the moon card reversed.
Right.
But the moon card reversed can indicate something that is helping us to start to move out of that state. And into, because the card that will follow the moon is the sun, which helps move us into both the light, but also a more positive state, a more joyful kind of state, and a more successful state. So this seems to be something that would be very worthwhile for you to pursue very immediately, because it will not only help you on an emotional level, but it will also then give you what you need to stay focused on developing the other thing that you really want to be doing, rather than getting lost in kind of that depressed emotional state and then you just kind of give up on everything.
Yeah. Thank you. Because I felt like I'm at my wit's end, really. I don't know what to do at this point, but thank you.
Well, so I did a rune cast for you, and remarkably, a completely different tool yields very similar results. There is a period of gestation. This idea that you have, it's important for you to continue to cultivate it internally. But it is not the time to bring it out yet. Before you can do that, you will want to find, find a fairly stable place that can support you and sustain you. And the indication is that there will be a place like that, kind of like a fruit-bearing tree that provides you both shelter and structure as well as opportunity to harvest. And this is key. Harvesting from wherever you are, wherever you end up, think and dive deep into yourself and figure out what can you be learning from this situation, because we also got the rune of the self here, which is fundamentally is about knowing who you are and cultivating within yourself all the skills and talents and perceptions and capacities that are that you know develop you as a human. Then it'll be time to jump out into the world. And I also got the rune of partnership. So be on the lookout at along this path over the next several months for the right partnership opportunity with which and through whom or with whom and through which to begin this endeavor of yours. And the final rune that I got is the rune of joy. So it all has a happy ending.
When you say, okay, so I was propositioned by a family member to actually go into business with this. So, I mean, the person came to me with the idea, and I was already going to develop something along the lines of what it is that I want to venture and open up. Mm-hmm. And they came to me and asked if, we'd want to be partners. So it's funny that you said that.
Well,
because I don't know if it's the right partnership, but I know that it came about.
Well, okay, so the good news is that it's opened your mind to the notion of partnership.
Right.
So that's great. I think your ability to determine whether it's the right partner or not is premature. So this is not to say that this is not the right partner for you, but rather to say this homework that you need to do, this understanding and cultivating of capacities within yourself that, learning more will illuminate more about who that partner, what the fruitful partner is going to look like. And it may very well be that this family member is exactly lined up right up your alley. And so just take it as an indication from the universe that there's something you should be thinking about, but you do have some homework to do first. I think that's the general gist of what I'm seeing. So very positive outcome ultimately, as long as you do your homework.
Okay. Can I ask one last question? This new opportunity that I'm going to find myself in, I heard what you guys said, not my own enterprise, but the next step before the enterprise.
Right.
I heard that you said it was fruit-bearing. I heard that you said, there's a place for me to, learn and develop myself. I just kind of need to know that energetically it's going to be a good place, because I just left a place where I got along well with my coworkers and I got along well with my manager, but the nature of the work that I was doing was just very boring. And then I left to go to this new place thinking that it was an awesome place, and then I get relieved because the manager doesn't have the time to train me, although she knew that I was new to the industry and to the organization. It was very frustrating because it was like I left something safe to come here, and now I'm on shaky ground again doing the interview thing again. And I just kind of need to know that this place is going to be
right,
just energetically sound.
Well, what I got for you, I just pulled a card for that, and that is this one is going to be up to you. I got the Chariot card. So
okay.
It's like you drive, it'll work. You don't drive, it won't work.
Right, and I pulled a card too, and the Seven of Earth reversed came up. And both of those cards, the Seven of Earth reversed and the Chariot card, tend to indicate something that is in constant motion. And the Chariot card is encouraging you to be in the driver's seat, so you make of it what you need it to be rather than needing it to be something for you or do something for you. But it also there's that sense of movement and speed with the Chariot card. And the reversed Seven of Earth is a card that says not to get too rooted or not to get too stuck or too comfortable in something. So literally see this as the layover that you need to get to where you're going, but it will have something to offer or provide you in order to get you to that final destination. And that's how you make of it what it is that you need it to be for you, rather than expecting or needing it to be something or give something to you. And which means you put it in the driver's seat to be the determining factor rather than you being the one who's determining what it is for you.
And I see they're both sevens. What do we know about seven?
Well, seven is a number of commitment. So we want to make sure, I mean, it can encourage you to commit your energy to this, at least for the moment. But it also says not to lose sight of your end goal, the commitment that you have to where you're ultimately, the destination you're ultimately moving towards, so that you don't get caught up in a detour or distracted in taking off of the path that you had set yourself down by pulling over to a rest stop and getting too comfortable and complacent and staying there, or by spinning off into a different direction that takes you away from where you were trying to use this to get to. It's like if you were flying from... Well, you're in Long Island, right? It's like if you're flying from there, Massachusetts. If you're flying from there to California, you might have to stop in Chicago. And we don't want you to end up getting on a plane in Chicago that takes you down to New Orleans because you think, oh, let me go to Mardi Gras. Because you might find that you're never going to end up in your final destination because you get too distracted or taken off course. So
on the other hand, if you somehow find yourself on that plane to New Orleans, consider that you have an opportunity on that plane to meet key people that will help you get to California. You know what I mean? It's like some things you can control, some things you can't. The things you can control, you drive towards your goal. The things you can't control, you harvest the opportunities that are in them. You know, the Chariot card is saying, harvest the opportunities that are there. Be aware, be an active participant, be committed to the present moment, and harness what's there.
Because ultimately, the Chariot says, if we go down this direction, we're likely to end up in a successful place. So the fact that we pulled that for this particular job opportunity or this place that you're asking about seems to say it will be a vehicle to get you to a successful destination or a desired destination. Therefore, energetically, it seems to have what it is that you need at this moment to move you forward, perhaps to move you away from the emotional place you've been in, as well as to help make progress towards the destination you want to be actually heading towards.
Okay. So basically, keep moving, focus on my end goal, but make sure that I'm able to balance both where I'm going and the fact of where I want to go. So I need to be able to balance both of those without getting bogged down and forgetting where I ultimately want to end up.
Which oftentimes comes from complacency or getting too comfortable someplace, and then we keep putting something on hold or on the back burner rather than continuing to make it a priority and feeding energy into moving in that direction.
You know what I noticed about the universe and me when it comes to this is that I'm supposed to enterprise independently. I've known that since I was 15, that I'm supposed to do. The universe doesn't allow me to get too comfortable. it just doesn't. The only thing in the last 12 years that has been consistent ever has been a roof over my head and has been school. Those are the only two things that I can say that have been consistent. When it comes to enterprising and making money, God has always made a way, but it hasn't been easy and I haven't lived lavishly. So it's like he won't allow me to get comfortable. That's not a part of my past.
Well,
ultimately, I'm supposed to end up enterprising. That I know.
And remember, take to heart this, the rune of the self, right? The fact that what's consistent is that your needs have been met and that you've been learning, right?
Right.
So keep focusing, start to focus on the things, the characteristics within yourself that need to be cultivated.
And don't
shy away. Don't go for the things that are necessarily that are fun, that are stimulating, that are sexy. Find the parts of yourself that need work.
And don't just associate learning with being in school. Approach every person, every opportunity, every job, everything as a learning environment, and that it has something to teach you that you can utilize to move toward your destination. So, you know, that the fact that you recognize that having a roof over your head and always being in school is kind of like saying that seems to be what really is working or what really works for you or brings you what you need. So treat everything like school, which is a learning opportunity, rather than thinking it has to be in the academic setting to be the learning opportunity. And once we're out of that, we've learned what we need to. Now what do I do? Continue to learn by being where you are.
That's how I feel. Like, what do I do? I got to the finish line. I'm almost lost without it.
And that's, but that's why I was saying, you know, if you go into a job that you can use to observe how to do something that will serve in what it is you're wanting to do for yourself or helps you to learn a new skill or something that is applicable to what you want to do, you're in school by being in that job because you're learning something, but you're not in school in an academic setting. And you want to make sure you maintain that learning mode no matter where or who you're around or doing, because it's going to serve you to move you along rather than you get stuck because you stop learning by not looking at what something has to teach you.
Right. So. Can I ask just one last thing? Do I get out of this depression? That's the last thing.
Just very quickly, I'll say that the opportunity is here for you to do that because the reversed moon card says you have the ability to start moving out of that state by going into this other job. And the chariot card shows us that, which was also pulled for that job, it seems to be the vehicle to start moving you away from the old emotional state to a new emotional state where you feel more motivated, energized, and successful. And the fact that John had a rune that was joy shows that you're moving towards joy. The Ten of Wind, Ten of Swords that came up, it says within the next couple of months, you have the opportunity to put this phase behind you and move into a new phase. So, yes, you have the opportunity at this point to start moving out of that emotional state. If you can approach things and use things in a way that allows you to see them as a vehicle to do that, rather than feeling like you just are giving up and just taking a job because you have to, versus seeing that it's a platform, a layover, a stepping stone to where it is that you're going.
Get exercise, dance, be positive.
I go to Zumba.
There you go.
I box and I go to Zumba, but if I'm too depressed, I don't go. But I use Zumba.
Well, when you're depressed is the most important time to go.
Right.
You know, that's what
You have to push yourself to go, especially when you're feeling like you don't want to.
Maybe that'll be the motivator.
Yeah.
Go for it.
Because physiologically what the exercise will do is actually counteract the depression. Also, eat and drink more citrus because that helps to elevate the mood. If you burn incense, you can burn frankincense. That's a really great mood enhancer and helps to – actually, they've studied physiologically frankincense helps to counteract depression. But you can also get frankincense essential oil and dab it on you. But citrus, frankincense, those would all be really good to help with that, too, if you want something a little more practical to do.
Okay. So, perfect.
All right. Well, thank you very much for calling in.
Good luck.
Thank you for having me. Thank you.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Have a great
Oops. Sorry about that. Well, we'll just have a great everything because she didn't specify what it is we have to do.
Perfect.
Thanks for that. We get to have a great everything. So now we're going to go to area code 831. And,
hi,
Steve. Oh, well, hello, area code 831. What's your name and where are you calling from?
I'm Sarah, and I'm calling from Santa Cruz, California.
Welcome to the show.
Okay.
And what is it that you'd like to ask us today?
So I, again, just like everybody else, I'm interested in finding out a little bit more about my overall career path. I wanted to
all of you guys need to call in on Tuesday night, by golly.
I know. I didn't know that was an option, but I will now.
Okay, cool. All right, but go ahead.
So I wanted, I guess I'll give some background first. I work for an organization, I'll just call it Organization X, and it's a very large multinational corporation here in the Valley, and I wanted to sort of explain that for the past 7 years that I've been employed there, I have had a variety of different roles. I have rotated quite a bit throughout the company and worked in finance and worked in different project management type roles and worked in some human resources projects that weren't technically part of human resources, but they were human resources type projects. I've worked in services, like customer service. I've done different things, and at this point, I'm ready to jump ship and to try to find a better opportunity at another company somewhere else. I have never been promoted in 7 years. I've had a variety of you know, bad bosses and some negative experiences, so I'm really ready to leave and start something fresh at a new company. And I guess my question is, in my search, I'm really trying to follow my passion, which is human resources, learning and development, training for new hires. And I'm finding that I'm not 100% qualified for some of those roles because I haven't ever technically worked in human resources at this company. I've just done projects that were indirectly related to human resources, but at the same time kind of keeping my other jobs, right, in supply chain or what have you. So my question is, should I continue to pursue this passion and go down this road and try to beef up my resume so that it looks like I'm more of a human resources generalist than I actually am? Or should I pursue more of the stuff that I've been doing that I don't love as much, but maybe more of a direct fit for, just so that I can get out of my current situation? And those would be sort of just the generic, I guess, you know, project management operations type role. So that's really my question. And then the second part of that question is, in looking for these opportunities, you know, if it's the human resources route that I go down, my question is around timing. And if it's the other route that I go down, my question is also around timing. So when can I expect to find an opportunity in either one of these two roles, depending on which one you would suggest I pursue? When can I expect to actually leave my company for something better in one of these two areas?
Well, the first, so I did a rune cast for you. First rune is the rune of joy. Mm-hmm. The second rune is the rune of the warrior. The third rune is the rune of the self. So, I think, and I did a three-card spread for you. The first card is the Dancer 9 in this deck. It's called Make a Wish. So I think, you know, we're talking about really giving yourself the opportunity to invest yourself in what brings you joy. I think it's important. The idea that you have about what excites you, it may not be human resources, so what is it about human resources that is your passion? It's not the paperwork, I imagine.
No. I've done two things at my current company that I really loved. One was the business partnering portion of working between functions. So I was a business partner between our learning and development organization and our finance organization. I really liked smoothing out the ruffled feathers and working with the various different personality types and being that liaison. But then the other piece that I was really passionate about was the creation of a new hire onboarding program,
where I got to help
new hires get more assimilated into the company.
All right. So the first thing that came to me before I drew any runes or cards, when you were talking about this, is you need to go to a smaller company where it's about the people and not so much about the process. Because when a company gets really big, it starts to become about the process, because the process has to scale independent of who's in the role, right? The process has to be functional, all that stuff has to work no matter who is there. It sounds to me, it seems to me like what I was reading from you was you want to be on a team, engaging with people, being real, engaging with people. And you know what? A smaller company has way fewer hang-ups about who's qualified to do what role, because if something needs to get done and somebody's willing to do it, they're like, oh, yeah, you just, absolutely, pick it up, run with it. So the idea that you could beef up your resume to work in HR, that didn't vibe with me so much, because I don't really think you want to work in HR. I think you want to work engaging people in dynamic ways, right? For you, it's about cultivating the relationship with people so that they can experience something positive in their work environment.
Right.
Right, and that isn't HR. it's more, the onboarding thing, right? That's training.
When I say HR, I mean there are divisions within the human resources function that are traditionally training is part of that function.
Because you're working in a huge company.
Right.
Right? In a smaller company, that's not going to look like that. It's going to be way less vertically divided like that.
I see.
It's going to be hands-on. So there will be a lot of different roles in a smaller company where the kinds of things that you're passionate about would be jobs waiting to be done by somebody who was passionate about them.
Okay. I see what you're saying.
Focusing on the things that you that bring you joy, being the warrior, taking up the helm, right? Putting on the robe, wearing the mantle, whatever it is, right, to go for it. And again, this know thyself thing is really important. Whenever I see this rune, I think, here's what came to me. You haven't been promoted in 7 years.
Right.
What do you not know about yourself? Now, I'm saying that without judgment. I'll give yourself the privilege of asking yourself that question. It may well be that you've had creepy, incompetent, unfriendly bosses, circumstances just worked against you, but the universe wastes nothing. So there's something about that experience that can illuminate aspects of your character, aspects of who you are, if you can dig around and harvest. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, definitely. I think, to answer it in the nutshell, I think the biggest thing I've learned about myself is that I'm a pleaser.
Uh-huh.
And I have a really hard time pulling the plug and telling somebody, this isn't working for me. When I'm loyal, right? I've committed myself, and I feel like, I think as the years went by, I felt like I owed that company more and more effort. And the harder I worked, the more it seemed to work against me. I finally had to kind of give up. And I'm not a quitter, but I had to somehow tell myself that this isn't the right place for me and I need to go somewhere else.
Well, I think, make that wish. Focus on your joy. Make that wish. The second card I got for you was Warrior 8, the Dragonflight card, and the third card I got for you was the Warrior 9 in this deck. It's called the Guardian. So, start riding that dragon, baby. Just, be firm, set yourself up, with the right, making the right wish, set yourself up, and go for it.
Okay.
Hi, C. Over to you.
Okay. So John gave you the high concept stuff, Now I'm going to take you low, 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 down to the everyday stuff. First of all, we have the moon card, which shows us, one, that you are lost in the shadows or not able to fully shine where you're at right now. It also shows that you may be creating, you're obscuring what you have to offer by trying to make your resume be too much. So the next card is the Seven of Water reversed. And when that card reverses, there's a need to get focused. And so Seven of Water says, instead of focusing on like seven different things or trying to highlight seven different aspects, the reversal brings it down and says, where do you want this to focus? If somebody looks at that resume, how do you want them to see you? Do you want them to see you as, oh, they could do this, they could do this, they could do this, they've done this, they've done this? Or do you want them to see you as, wow, this person has a lot of experience or is really interested in HR? Let's just use HR as the example. So this would encourage you to make your resume much more focused towards what you want it to reflect of you and what you want it to help bring in for you, rather than trying to reflect all sorts of things and then you just kind of settle for something. And the Seven of Earth comes up next to that, reversed. One thing I would say is both of these sevens seem to indicate with the reversals that seven is long enough. It's time to move on. And then with John, what you had was the eight and the nine. So there's a sense of, we've been someplace for 7 years, therefore seven is long enough, and it's time to be making the transition rather than staying there any longer. And Seven of Earth reversed can caution us against impatience, which would mean just grabbing onto the first thing that comes along or not being willing to wait for the right thing. But I think part of that comes from being more focused, like on your resume and what you're looking for, rather than trying to highlight all of these other things or pursuing some of these other kinds of things that aren't really aligned with what it is you would be happy doing.
You know, Sarah, I want to highlight something here. What High C is talking about on your resume is you being a pleaser, right? He's saying don't be a pleaser on your resume. Be the person you want to be on your resume. Does that make sense? Don't try to present yourself as something so that other people will find you appropriate. Present yourself as the person you know you can be and that you know you are, and be strong about that. Be focused about that. Does that make sense?
Is Sarah still there?
Oh, my goodness.
Well, so I'm going to go ahead and finish my reading, and she can always hear the rest of her reading in the archives if for some reason she's gotten disconnected or something. Because what I wanted to also say when she was asking about timing is that it seems very auspicious, or the energy seems very strong within the next 3 months to be able to bring something about. Specifically, the Three of Water came up, which generally speaking can indicate 3 months. It's also in the position of the next 1 to 3 months. And this is a card, the astrological symbol that is on this card is Cancer. Three of Water would actually be the third decan of Cancer, which is like the last third of Cancer, which is going to be kind of, I want to say it's going to be towards the latter part of July. Three of Water is also a card of networking, so it's going to be extremely important to reach out to your network or to network and connect with people. But I think it also speaks to what you want to focus on moving towards, which is probably why you feel drawn to the HR thing, because Three of Water is about bringing people together, creating opportunities for people to connect and be happy and be with people that are of like mind. So it can be the HR thing, helping people connect with the right kind of fit or job and be happy in what they're doing in an organization. It could be in the training realm, because it could be about bringing people together as a group in order to have them all cooperating and working together to achieve something. Three often is about the sum is greater than the parts. Therefore, this idea of bringing people together helps to strengthen and create something more than what they're able to do on an individual basis or level. And the Two of Wind comes up, and that would show us that you'll probably find two things, because Two of Wind can often be about having a choice between two things. So you'll probably have more than one opportunity to choose between if you start focusing and going in this direction and within this time frame of the next 3 months. So that's what I wanted to say about that. And hopefully if you are listening, you can always hear in the archive of the show or as the podcast on iTunes that you can download. You would be able to hear this even if you got cut off for some reason while you were listening live. And that goes for anybody that's listening.
Right.
So we still have a few people in the queue. Are you okay staying around a little longer, John?
I can stay around until just shy of 1 o'clock.
Okay. So if you're already in the queue, then we will try to get to you. I don't know that we'll get to everybody. But if you're listening live, the show will cut off the live stream at 12:30. But if you're already in the queue, you won't be cut off. So don't panic about that. And if you are listening live and you want to hear the rest of the show, you can always listen in the archives. So having said that, we will take a quick break and then we will come back to our next caller. And that will be someone from area code 317. So if you're calling from area code 317, get yourself ready. Area code 317. Are you there, caller from area code? Oh, hello.
Yes,
what's your name and where are you calling from?
Jamie from Indiana. I so love you guys. You guys do such good work.
Thank you so
helping
much.
Helping everybody. You're welcome. Thanks for staying on for me and whoever else. I just wanted to ask about finances and a job I'm going to take.
Oh.
Yes.
Tell us more.
Okay. Well, I do tarot as well.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to take a job in kind of that field. And at first I was kind of like, because I took a couple of jobs and they haven't been very profitable. You know, it's like been really slow. But I've been watching this site and it looks really busy. And the woman promised me it would be the best investment because I had to get a home phone. So, and I just lost my job because I hurt my back. So I have to find something to heal for a while. Yeah.
Hmm. All right. Let me toss some runes here. I'm going to mute myself.
Okay.
So since you do the tarot, I'm going to make sure I tell you the cards that came up. so that you can also think about what those cards would mean to you as well.
Okay, yeah, you say earth and water, and I'm not sure which one's earth. I was like, which one is earth?
Well, that's okay. So I'll transmit. Earth is pentacles.
I know water. Oh, earth is pentacles. I know water's cups. So I was like, okay, that's kind
right.
Okay. Awesome.
So the first thing that I would say is, I don't know if this is the best thing for you, and I think that if you are looking for some sort of real reward or return on the investment, or just, you know, feeling that it has been rewarding materially for what you want, that that's going to take some time. Because I have, so I have five cards. The first three cards show us what's going on right now, especially the first card, what does the situation look like? Second card, what is helping or can help the situation? And the third card, what's the biggest obstacle, challenge, or fear? Then the next two cards are the short-term and the long-term outlook. And fortunately, in the long-term position, we have the Ten of Earth or the Ten of Pentacles. And so that's certainly a nice card, because it's a card of, you know, work paying off and reward coming from what it is that we do. But one, it's in the long-term, so it says it's somewhere down the line. And two, even in the suits, it's 1 through 10, it's the last card in the suit. So it also says it's somewhere down the line. And so in the first three positions, so the current situation is the reversed star card. And reverse just means it came up upside down. Do you do reversals?
I don't.
Okay. Well, just when if I say reverse, it's just because when I laid the cards out, it came up upside down.
Okay.
And, you know, reversing the star card, the thing with the reversals is that we always have the potential for the upright to be there. Reversals can indicate fear and resistance, can indicate a block, an obstacle, or a delay of some sort. Can also indicate internal versus external. Well, there's a lot of things that reversals can indicate. But so the star card reversed can have us feeling hopeless, but it can also be, you know, the star is like the universal neon sign saying, go this way, this is your path, this is the direction you need to be following. And the reversal says that something may be taking us off course. So my concern is that there's something about, well, either there's something about working for this particular site that isn't really part of your path or the course you need to be on, or it needs to be something that is short term because it's not really part of your long term path and course.
Okay.
Because the card next to it for what's helping is the reversed Ten of Fire or the reversed Ten of Wands. And that shows us that this may be something in the short term that can alleviate some of that burden, some of that stress that we may feel like we're under. In the deck I'm using, it's called the cage. So it's reversed, so it may help us to feel as, at least feel like we're not trapped in a cage, but are doing something to help create a little bit of an opening to move forward. But 10 is a number of change and transition. So the reversal of a 10 can show us that it may not be the major change or transition that we need, versus it may just be a minor change or transition, but there's something else that has to happen to move into the next phase fully. And then for the biggest obstacle, challenge, or fear, we have the reversed Seven of Wind or Seven of Swords reversed.
I have just got reversals on. Crazy.
Well, it is true. And that's one reason why I said, you know, I don't know if this is really the best thing, or at least it's something that seems very temporary in what it will be able to offer you. I would also wonder whether it's really worth what it is that you're investing in it, whether that's money or time or whatever, because that Ten of Earth is so far down the line in the long term. But Seven of Swords reversed asks us to be willing to look at the reality of something, warts and all, to take off the blinders and see it in a true way rather than in a way that we are wanting or hoping for it to appear to us. Sometimes, you know, Seven of Swords is a card that can, upright, is a card that can indicate like lies, deception, dishonesty, something
Yeah,
not,
I hate that card.
You know?
Like, well, I hate this card. Yes.
And the reversal can indicate, like secrets coming out, something being revealed, you know, that kind of thing. So my concern is that you may be projecting what you want this to be, and it's not going to live up to or really be that. But it's not until you get involved in it that you will start to see it for what it is, and that it may not live up to your expectation, or it may not provide what it is that you wanted, or it may not be as lucrative or as trustworthy as you may have convinced yourself that it would be.
Okay.
I know. And the, you know, I will also say that reversing wind, reversing swords, swords is a suit of like the internet and online and that kind of thing. The reversal may say that doing this online may not be the best way for you to go about doing this. That doing something more in person or, you know, that kind of may be better than going through, I'm assuming it's kind of like a site or a, like a psychic line or a call-in kind of thing or whatever.
Yeah, I've actually called local places because I have friends that actually read tarot and have taught classes and things like that. And I said, do you have openings? And he said, yes. But he said, you have to, you know, you have to get clientele. Well, I'm sure it's going to be hard at first because most of those people have been there for years. So it's to get somebody's trust so early, it's going to be really hard for me to get. So, I mean, that's the problem with going, like, locally. I have to get clientele.
Well, but you can also build clientele by participating in fairs, you know, like psychic fairs, by going and doing readings at art and wine festivals, by going and setting up a table in a park, by going to a cafe.
Can you do that? I've always wondered how people do that. I'm like, can you really do that? Or, is there supposed to be some type of thing you have to have in order to work, like, at a coffee place or whatever?
Just go and ask.
At a cafe or coffee shop, just go and ask the person there and say, would it be okay if I come here on Tuesdays and have a little table and put up a sign and people can get readings? And they can promote it, too, because it may be something that will help to draw people in because people would come to get a reading and get coffee. They may ask for, a percentage of money you make or something like that, but you just ask at the individual place. So those kind of things, you know, the reverse Ten of Wands can say to take your cage off, to not be very limited in the way you think this can be done. And then in the short term is, which for me is the next 1 to 3 months, what is coming next or what's the next step or the next course of action. It's the Temperance card reversed. So, you know, reversing the Temperance card says that we may have to do something a little more extreme rather than something that is easy. Because the Temperance card is like, oh, it just kind of flows down the middle, you know, and the reversal tends to kind of push us to an extreme. So this is encouraging you, if you push a little bit beyond your comfort zone, if you push a little bit more, and this would be like going in and asking at a coffee shop or setting up a table in the middle of a park on a nice day and just have the cards laying out there, you'd be amazed. Just have those cards out there and people will just start coming up intrigued. And then if they see one person getting a reading, plenty of other people will want a reading too, because they're, oh, I want a reading. Can I get a reading? And don't underestimate charging less than, don't underestimate charging like, you know, $10 for a reading. Because if you're sitting in a park and you can do, you know, 5 readings in an hour, that's $50. And that's maybe more than waiting for that one person that'll come along and pay $50 for a single reading. And I say that just because the Temperance card about going to extremes is sometimes you have to also go to the extreme. Well, I feel like I'd be undercharging. Well, but doing more readings at less cost may bring in more income than waiting out the higher paying customer. And you also, building a clientele, that helps because you're reaching a lot more people that are experiencing a reading with you than just the one person who will pay for the higher priced one.
I agree.
You know.
Jamie, continue.
Well, I was just going to offer one other thing. I know this is online, so it sounds like I'm contradicting myself, but you're more in control of it. There's actually a website called Fiverr.com, and it's with 2 R's, Fiverr.com. And
Fiverr.
You can.
But V as in Victor?
Yeah, like the number 5, but with 2 R's.
Okay.
And that's because you can post anything on there, and people post whatever they want to offer to somebody for $5. So you could, but then they have other things. They say, I forget what they call them, but you can then have other things listed like, well, for $20, I would do this, or $30, I would do this. But the initial thing is always $5. So you could just post on there and say, you know, I'll do a one-card tarot reading for you for $5. And you may have to send it by email. You may have to do it by phone or Skype or whatever. But it, again, will give you more exposure and also give you the opportunity to start reaching more people, because people will take the chance to say, try a tarot reading for $5. And if they like it, then they'll come back to you again. And you can list other options, you know, like, well, I can do an hour reading with you for X or whatever, but you always start at five. But that's also an option. And that, again, I offer that because it sounds like an extreme, because a lot of people say, well, just doing a reading for $5, you know, or
I
whatever. Or, just,
I'll do anything to get clients. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
I do,
you know,
free ones all the time. Yeah.
The other attitude is, really, a one card reading? I don't know if I could do it, but that, to some people that seems like extreme. Like, how can I do a reading with one card? But that's what the Temperance card is kind of encouraging reverse for the next few months. And the Ten of Earth follows that, which says doing that will pay off and will lead
and
to
ten
more.
Ten of Earth is what? Pentacles. Oh, you said that.
Ten of Pentacles, yeah, sorry. So no, that shows it will pay off, or it will lead to greater reward, or you'll really see a lot of tangible benefit from approaching it that way.
Okay, because, yeah, I mean, I have tried several online sites, and it's like none of them are very busy. And this one, it shows people on calls a lot. But, you know, I don't know if those are ones they picked. I don't know how it's going to be, so... You're right.
Well,
I don't know.
So I did a rune cast for you, and again, the runes corroborate what in which measure. The first rune is the rune of the harvest, which says you're on the right track, but it's going to take a long time because, you know, it takes a season, right? You have to sow first before you reap.
Okay.
The next rune I got was the rune of gestation, right? Something needs to be baked for a while more. And the third rune is the rune of communication with the divine. And so I think this is saying you need to practice. You need more
practice
opportunity to practice.
Yeah, I practice all the time. I do free readings a lot. So I'm practicing every week. But yeah, I probably could use more. But you know, it's like, if you get a job that you actually do it, I mean, things just spark off and take off. I've done
that
before.
Well, that's right. So that's why High C's idea of going to the park or going to the coffee shop and setting yourself down, and you know, you're practicing not just practicing the tarot, you're practicing putting yourself out there.
Right. Okay.
In different circumstances, the rune of the warrior, which is all about, you know, being true, being disciplined. And the final rune that I got was the rune of wealth. So, you know, I know you're asking about this particular job. I think the guidance that I see are both receiving here is that this might be an opportunity for you to get the hang of certain things, but there's more to it than this job.
Yeah, that sucks.
Well, don't think of it that way. Think of it as this is a way for you to challenge yourself in areas where you need to challenge yourself, right? If the Temperance card weren't reversed, it'd be easy peasy, right? But that's not what
right.
you got. So what it says is, and you got the, you know, we got the warrior here. This is like, come on, you know, suit up and let's go tackle some. That's what's going to bring you to your goal.
Okay.
And that last rune that he just talked about of wealth is really the equivalent of the Ten of Earth.
Yeah, it's exactly
the same. Ten of Pentacles,
wow.
Sorry. So it shows us that in the long term, if you do this now, then you put in the work, you put in the cultivation, you put in the gestation, it will pay off in the long term and over time. Just don't expect it to be, you know, easy peasy, as John says, and don't expect it to be overnight, but know that what you're doing is going to be worth the effort and will end up rewarding you and coming back to you over time.
So let me ask you this. Do we see it being able to pay my finances for now or no?
I wouldn't look at this and say that it will be able to fully pay your finances, but the reverse Ten of Wands would show us that it will at least help you from getting stuck in a cage, will keep you from feeling overwhelmed and overburdened. So it'll be something that contributes but isn't the sole source.
Yeah, same here. Same. I pulled
same
one
thing.
For you. Same thing.
Same thing. Okay.
All so there's more. Scary. There's more to this. There's more to this. This is an interesting event in your life, but there's more to it, and you not the whole answer.
Yeah, I keep getting the same thing when I try to read for myself. It's like it goes one way, then it goes another, then it goes one way, then it goes another. It's like eventually it will pay off, but at this time it's like, okay, it's just not going to happen yet. So I'm going to have to look at another route. So,
but that doesn't mean wait until later to do this. It means that what you do with it now will build and grow on itself and pay off in the long term. So like building the clientele now will pay off later by perhaps offering you the ability to move into this more fully and more full time. But it's because you're
right.
cultivating it now to get to that point while then also having to supplement doing something else rather than thinking you can do something else and then wait until some later time to even start doing this.
Yeah, right? I mean, I've already started into it. You know, I got a home line and all that kind of stuff, and she promised me it'd pay off. So let's hope I can at least pay some bills with this, because I mean right now it's like eventually money's going to come in for sure, and that might be why all the wealth is coming as well. You know, I got some stuff going on with this hurt back, but
well, this
really
is just
going
to be something that helps to ease the burden. So again, it's not the sole solution, but it is something that may ease the burden a bit, which gives you a little bit of extra income that helps to pay some of the bills or something like that.
That's beautiful. That's what we want. Well, thank you so much. I love you guys. I love listening to you. You're wonderful, and you help so many people. So I really appreciate it. I hate the reversals. Oh, my God. You know the tarot girl gets all the reversals. Like, I don't do reversals. Let me get too many cards to do reversals.
Oh, God bless you.
Bless you, too.
Thanks for calling.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
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 All right, so let's
see. I hate
now,
reversals, by the way.
I have no antipathy for reversals. Reversals are very important. So let's go to area code 727. Are you there, caller from area code 727?
Yes, hi, I'm here.
What's your name and where
Hello.
Are you calling from?
My name's Lisa. I'm calling from Florida.
All
hi,
right.
Lisa.
And what is it you'd like for us? What is it you'd like for us to look at for you today?
I wanted to look at my love life and my finances, whichever one you pick up in the reading.
Okay, give us a sec.
Is your love life about a specific relationship or just your love life in general?
I ended something recently with someone, but I do have feelings for the person still.
Why did you end it?
It just wasn't working out for me. Their job was just, they were working too much and not spending time with me, and they had some family problems, so I was getting really hurt.
Do you feel like we need to look at that again, or do you feel like you want to look at what the future looks like, what where to go from here in your love life?
Well, the reason I jumped on that so quickly is because as I was shuffling the cards, the Death card reversed popped out.
Okay.
So that would say that there's something still there.
I do have feelings for him, and I have not reached out. It's been 6 months, and I still have feelings for him. And I thought in my imagination, I thought, okay, I'm going to break up with this person, and I'm just going to move on. And that's not what happened. I broke up with them, and then I was in pain over it for a while, and you know what I mean. I haven't completely let go.
Well, that's the key to the death card. The death card is about letting go. And reversing it can sometimes indicate that we keep something on life support, even though we know there's no hope of bringing it back to life. And so it may be that you have to make the conscious decision that you have let go of it for good and that you're ready to move on. You can accept that you may still have feelings for this person forever, but that doesn't mean that you need to be in relationship with that person. And so, you know, reversing the death card is like having to make the decision to pull the plug. And we keep holding on and not wanting to make the decision rather than accepting the reality, so that not only us, but the other entity, the other person, can fully move on in their journey as well. Because you holding on, even energetically, keeps, it's called cording. It's like an energetic cord connected to the other person that energetically kind of pulls them back and keeps them from being able to fully move forward themselves. And I say some of this because of the cards that came up for me as well, you know, because I heard John saying that and I was curious to see if there were cards that either said there's still something there, like there's still life left in this, let's not let it go, versus it's just that we're holding on to something that needs to be let go of. And everything here that I got says it's time to move forward and to stop attaching to this, so that neither one of you are able to fully, even energetically, move on, rather than to just start looking forward to what's next and what else is there for you, rather than just thinking about what could have been or not looking at what might be around you because you keep focusing on what...
I just wonder if he feels the same, like if he misses me or if he wants to come back or... I don't know.
Well,
it's hard to...
What I have, one says that it's not really best to go back to it. Two, I don't know that he feels exactly the same way, that he would want to come back. Well, what I have would indicate that he probably doesn't feel like he wants to come back, especially because like the Ten of Water, Ten of Cups comes up reversed, which Ten of Water is like the card of the happily married, happily ever after kind of card. But the reversal, meaning it's upside down, shows us that the water drains away. And so the love, the emotion, the connection is dissipating, is evaporating, or has completely gone away. And therefore, we don't want to hold on to a fairy tale and hope for happily ever after versus accepting it's time to move on and find the next story, the next chapter, rather than waiting for some miraculous ending to this story to happen.
Right.
And the reverse justice card comes up, and the reversal of justice card says this isn't really the right thing. And it also kind of encourages not coming back to something. It's kind of like saying judgment has been rendered. Think of justice like in a court. It's like saying the court has made its ruling, and now it's time to move on because the court isn't going to reverse its ruling. So we need to just accept the reality of the situation and move forward rather than continue to hold on to or wait for something that doesn't seem likely to ever come along. Or is it really the best thing to happen?
Right.
And once you do that, the Seven of Fire comes up. So we're encouraged in the long term that there will be something else for you, but it's having the courage of your convictions to stand your ground and to not back down, which would be giving in to, well, maybe I'll just wait and see if it comes back rather than pursuing new things. But Seven of Fire can also indicate that... it could indicate something coming fairly quickly. Because Seven of Fire would go into Leo, and Leo is July 20th to August 20th. It could be that by the end of the summer, something new will come along to challenge you, meaning like a new relationship possibility, which could challenge you on the level of, am I ready to try a new thing and move on from the other thing? and also challenge you in the sense of something that may be a little bit different or new from what you're used to in terms of the type of person, the type of relationship. And it will challenge you to see if you're willing to engage in that rather than simply look for something that is easy or the way that you thought it should always look or be.
Right.
So we're not giving up on love for you, but I think that maybe it's time to go through the process of pulling the plug and letting go of this thing consciously and fully so that both you and energetically the other person can move on without feeling yanked back when they try to do that.
How does that feel for you, Lisa, when Heisi says that? What do you get?
I feel, no, I'm trying to think of how I feel. Yeah, I feel like it's good. It's just really hard to, I'm still grieving, it's true. I still feel
I think what I heard from you is that you felt like it was circumstances, not him, that caused you to have to pull away to protect yourself.
I didn't know him long enough to answer that.
Oh, okay.
We didn't have a long relationship, but I don't know. That's a great question. I don't know. I still have a lot of unanswered questions. I really do.
Yeah. Well, you know, if it was that toxic that quickly, then I mean, if the honest
I had to put a plug. I had to put a plug. It was hurting, and I was like, I got to get out of here.
Well, okay. So was that a mature or an immature pulling of the plug? You know, I mean, when you actually look at yourself and you say, you know, I panicked, or, you know, yeah, that was really not healthy.
That was really not healthy. He had circumstances of taking care of an alcoholic in his family, and I had issues with that, and I couldn't deal with it. I was like, this is very unhealthy to enable and you know, and then part of me feels like, okay, well, maybe I was too judgmental, you know, but then I looked at it, and I'm like, no, I can't do this, you know, he couldn't be there for me because he was so busy taking care of this other person, and I was like, I want somebody who's available, not tied up. That's why I pulled the plug.
Okay. Then pull the plug. Seriously.
Huh?
Seriously, pull the plug. Be out. Get out. Be done.
Yeah, I did get out. I haven't seen him or talked to him in a long, long time. But
no, but you're holding something. You're holding on to some kind of hope.
It's true. And yeah, there is hope for me. And I'm thinking, well, you know, I still love this person.
Okay,
and
hang on. So what would have to change in order for you to feel like this was a smart thing to reengage in?
Probably he would have to stop enabling the family member. That was kind of the bottom line for me. That was the deal breaker.
All right, well.
I think he was extremely offended that I would have kind of told him what to do in life. I think that pissed him off a lot, like.
Well,
you know.
I mean, he's in a tough situation. He's trying to deal with a family member who's severely ill. That's gonna apply some, you know, it's gonna be damaging to him too. So, you know, you can't change that. Only he can change that. So if the bottom line for you, I mean, and this is just a quick sort of sanity check for you. If the bottom line is that. If he's still working that problem, it's too toxic for you, then why don't you just find out if he's still working that problem? Because if he's still working that problem, then you know where your answer is.
Yeah.
right? And you need to be,
you know what?
You need to hold
self
accountable to that.
I guess I thought that, I guess it's an ego thing too. I guess I thought that he would miss me enough and decide that he wanted to make changes. And
yeah.
I guess that didn't happen. I mean, you know, we got a laugh about it. It's like, I thought that we were in love and it was super strong. And I was like, okay, I'm going to put my foot down and he's going to make the changes because he's going to really miss me. And
yeah,
then that didn't happen, and it was sort of shocking. I was like, wow, he's still going to stay with that terribly bad, in my opinion, a very bad choice.
Yeah. Well, that's the way it goes. You know, you can't make other people perform, right? So,
and I had to walk away.
Yeah. So now you have to actually really walk away.
Yeah, I pretty much almost all the way have. There's just some small part of me that wonders how he's feeling about the whole thing and if he misses me and if he is thinking about changing his situation. And but then I'm like, no, he probably isn't. Probably wants to be stuck with that crappy situation for years to come, and I don't know.
Don't even go there, right? The simple answer here is to find out. It's like, you don't need the cards. You have a telephone. Or you can ask a friend of a friend or whatever and say, is he still, you know, neck deep in this alcoholism situation? And if the answer is yes, you're done. You just like, okay, that's what you needed to know. You knew what you needed to know was he doesn't miss you enough to change.
I know, it was painful. It was very painful for me.
Well,
and
that's,
you know, my ego doesn't like it either.
Well, okay, so that's what you need to work on.
I literally thought that it was, you know, wow, it was like that he would look at the whole thing and go, oh my God, I'm going to lose her. I'm going to make a change.
Well,
but when that didn't happen, I was like shocked.
So what do you? So there's a ton of lessons you can learn from this. A ton of lessons you can learn from this.
Yeah.
About the nature of relationship, about your perception of a relationship versus someone else's, about the effects of caring for an alcoholic loved one, and what that does to your ability to perceive what is good and healthy in the world. There's all kinds of things you can learn from this. The second card I pulled for you after the death card reversed was the Elder, right? And this is all about, you know, scrutinizing very carefully, without judgment, discernment, what really is going on? What happened? What can I learn from this?
Oh, it's just so painful. It's so painful.
It's pain. Pain is just pain, right? Pain, I have a saying, pain is, there's two kinds of pain. There's pains where healing is occurring, and there's pain where healing is not occurring. Which kind of pain do you want to feel? Because you get to choose.
Right. I hear what you're saying. It's just painful. It is painful.
Well, the good news is that the third card I got for you after that was the World. So major arcana, three major arcana cards for you. So this is a really important period, a really important lesson. The universe is handing you incredible wisdom.
It was so hard. I got to tell you guys, it was so painful and so hard for me when I did put my foot down. It was so hard. I was so frightened to do it. I mean, I don't regret it, I got to be honest. But it was very, very painful when I did it. I was like, wow.
Congratulations.
I have to do this. It's very hard, though. It's not an easy thing to do.
No, absolutely not.
Kind of stand up for yourself and put your foot down and walk away from somebody you loved, you know, dearly. I loved him dearly, and I wanted the best for him. And I know that I've been perceived as, like, a controlling, bossy, you know, person that tells people what to do, but that's not where I was coming from. I just was looking at it like, this is unhealthy for you. It's unhealthy for me, you know, and I can't do this, and it's painful.
Yeah,
and I'm sure he saw it as, wow, this lady wants to ruin my life and tell me what to do, and that's not where I was coming from at all.
Well, think about
painful
which
that I feel like I was being, you know, misunderstood too. Like,
Think about which kind of pain you chose.
Ah.
You could have stayed in there in the pain where healing was not occurring, or you could have chosen the pain, the standing up for yourself and leaving and experiencing that pain, which is the opportunity to leave a situation which is not healthy and tend to your own healing. So you've made the right choice so far. Now just stick with it. And continue to learn. There's so much in the situation that you can harvest from.
Yeah, it just doesn't make it any less painful. I'm still in pain over it.
Well,
you know, it's getting easier. I gotta say, it is getting lighter. The pain isn't so bad. Like 3-4 months ago, I was crying a lot and depressed. I was working out a lot. Exercising a lot so I could process some of the emotions because it was so hard. But, it's tough.
The guy I do the career change show with on Tuesday night, Ivan Teams, he says, the pain of change begins to disappear when the benefits of change begin to be realized.
The pain of change what?
The pain of change, the pain associated with making a change, begins to dissipate or disappear when the benefits of having made that change start to materialize. So as you begin to feel the benefits, the pain will lessen. I know, it's hard.
When the benefits of making that change, what?
Start to materialize. When they start to become clear. So as you start to, start to feel and realize, I made that change. The pain will start to lessen. And you're on the right track. You asked a good question. You got a good answer. This is where you're supposed to be.
Yes, I know. I know I did the right thing. It just sucks. It sucks to really love somebody and to watch them basically self. I mean, I felt like he was destroying himself. And it wasn't just that. He was, not eating all day. He was drinking 15 sodas a day.
Ew.
Not eating food. And it was just a train wreck. And I was looking at the whole thing, and I'm like, oh, my God. You're not eating properly. You're not exercising. You're not taking care of yourself. You're taking care of this guy who is toxic, and I can't do this. How can I have a moonlight stroll on the beach with you when, you're a hot mess? it's hard.
Yeah. Well, okay. So I think, Hi-C, and Lisa, I've turned into a pumpkin. It's the top of the hour for me, and I have an appointment. But I want to leave you in Hi-C's capable hands. Hi-C, can you take us out from here?
Yeah, sure. So thank you, Lisa, for calling in today.
Thank you.
And have a good rest of the weekend.
Thank you, everybody, for listening.
Bye, guys.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And there's a couple more people that I know have been waiting. So even though John isn't here, I'm going to go ahead and see if I can do a reading for you, if that's okay. It'll just be me. So, so I think the first one, if you're still waiting, is area code 256. Are you there?
Yes.
Area code 256?
Yes, I am.
What's your name and where are you calling from?
Wanda. I'm calling from Alabama.
All right. And what is it that you'd like to ask about today?
I sent y'all an email because I didn't think I'd get through. I was suffering from post-traumatic stress syndrome over my brother's death. I think he was possibly, it's a homicide. It's still pending. There's a lot of people that was around him that tried to take advantage of him. Right now I've been trying to get his estate cleared up, and I got this one man who claims he owns my brother's house, leased to own. Because I was going through so much trying to, to pay for his funeral and stuff, and I had another brother die 28 days afterwards. So I had two brothers die within 28 days of each other. Anyways, this guy said that he bought the house, leased to own. so I said, okay, I couldn't believe my brother did it, to be honest with you. And he refused to pay. He said that he owned the house, lock, stock, and barrel, because my brother didn't have no kids. And I'm like, no, no, no. After I started looking at the contract, it's a forgery. And now I thought everything was taken care of. Now he's went to a lawyer, and he's fought me over the house, and I just barely can stand it. I can't take more. I'm having nightmares, and just whatever you can get from the cards.
All right. So are you seeing a counselor or anything to help work through some of this?
No.
And what's the reason for not doing that?
I just started realizing that I had it because I didn't know that I had it. Because I'm not a mean person, but I have dreams about killing people.
Okay. Well, then this may be, the dreams and things may just be the thing that are trying to indicate to you it's time to reach out for help.
Yeah.
And to allow someone else to help you bear this burden rather than you feeling completely overwhelmed trying to bear it all by yourself.
Right. There's nobody to help me. I've got a lawyer that does it. He doesn't know what he's doing. I'm already out of money, you know. I'm not working.
Well, there's often low-cost or free services that different either therapists or organizations will have access to. And that's what I would want you to try to reach out to.
I'm going to try to.
And, you know, if you're having trouble locating that in your area, I know this is going to sound like an odd suggestion, but if you call, even if you called like a suicide prevention line, and I know. But if you called them, they may be able to point you to resources in your area that you could then go to that offer counseling and therapeutic services that are low cost or free. So I'm not suggesting that you call that because you're suicidal, but because they tend to have some of those kind of resources very readily available and can quickly look it up for wherever it is that you are located. And so that again takes a little bit of the burden off of you to try to go through the process of identifying some place and all of that, versus also a lot of times being able to trust more where they may send you, because they probably have screened those places to make sure they're sending people to reputable places or people. And I think that's one of the big keys here is, you know, the first card that comes up is the Ten of Fire reversed, and that here it's called the Cage, but it's reversed. So it says Ten of Fire is a tendency when we feel like our back is going to break because we're overwhelmed by the burden that we're carrying. But we have to recognize how much of that burden we have taken on ourselves rather than has been imposed upon us. And it's the reversal is learning how to say no to someone.
Yes.
The reversal is learning how to delegate or to make other people take the responsibility for what is theirs to be responsible for, rather than their load ending up on your plate. And that's going to help somewhat for you, because this would say hand back to people that need to be responsible for something what it is that you have taken on, so that you aren't feeling as if you also have to be obligated or doing that. So do you feel that there are some things that other people can or need to be responsible for themselves that you're doing that you don't need to be doing?
There's nobody to do it. There's everybody lives out of town or they're sick.
So what needs to be done that you feel like people being out of town or sick can't do?
Well, they can't go and, like, the guy's got, he's claiming his stake on the house. I mean, you got to be there. I got to confront this guy because I ran the ad trying to get the house up for sale because I put all my brother's funeral costs on my credit card.
And where did you find the lawyer that you're working with?
I just went in there. My dad had used him before when he passed, and I thought he could do this. But he couldn't.
Well,
I had to go and do his job for him.
So there's So there's an example of what we were just talking about.
Yeah.
The lawyer needs to be responsible for doing his job, and you have taken on that job. So it's time not necessarily to go to that lawyer and say, do your job, but maybe to go and find another lawyer.
That's more money out the pocket, and I'm not even working. I mean, it's just more money, and I don't know what's up or down anymore because, like I said, it's I had to push the police to do an autopsy because they were saying he died of natural causes, and now it's like looking like homicide, like I thought.
So I'm going to give you – now, I don't know organizations in your area, but I'm going to give you the contact information for an organization that is here in my area called the Law Foundation of Silicon Valley. And they specifically serve people who can't afford legal representation but need it. They do a lot of housing issues and tenant issues and that kind of thing, but they also do other things. The reason I'm going to give you their information is, again, so you could perhaps contact them and ask them if they know of an organization or a lawyer in your area that does similar kind of service.
If you could, I don't know what's up and down. As I told you, that this guy, the contract, after I started looking at it, is a forgery.
Well,
and I don't to see what you found out about that, about in the card reading, if I'm right on that.
Well, yes. So there is a sense that something is going on underneath the surface, if you will. Something's going on that's out of view. And that, because the card that came up is the Hanged Man, and so there's a sense of things may be opposite from what they appear. Therefore, if somebody says, here's a contract, it may be opposite from what that is, which means a forgery. And also, I think that what would be really beneficial for you is some sort of spiritual connection or spiritual organization or spiritual counseling and guidance.
I'm going to tell you something. You're going to probably think it's strange, but I even tell God, if you want me to stop doing this, I'll stop. I'll just let everybody have it, whatever, doesn't care. And I felt the deceased people pushing me. That's how I knew it was a possible homicide. Because after I felt them pushing me in my sleep, I said, okay, that's my son. I got up and I called the autopsy people that did the autopsy, and I told them to police a woman, not tell anyone to deal with it. They're the ones that tell me that they don't know what the police is telling me, but he's got it listed as a homicide. The police don't even want to deal with it. They won't even take people's phone calls. It's just horrible. People trying to call and tell them, you know, give them information, they won't return their call.
Well, and so, one, that's why you need a lawyer, and two, you might also consider approaching the media and finding somebody that would, you know, write a story. Well, and they may also be able to refer you to lawyers and that kind of thing that may be able to help you too. But don't make that a last step. Make that a next step.
Well, I've got to wait until the complete autopsy comes down, and it's been since February.
Well, you don't have to wait for that to at least start reaching out to connect with someone in the media and start to tell them the story. Because if they hear the story, they may be intrigued enough just by already what has happened to want to continue pursuing the story, following up on the story, you know, starting to find out where are the autopsy results and contacting the place to start asking questions, because sometimes that scares people, like where the autopsy is being done, and they go, oh, well, the media are asking me, so I better get this done, you know, kind of thing. So that's why I was saying don't wait versus make that the next step. Go ahead and start that process now.
Mm-hmm.
So one, there's an indication that you need to stand your ground and trust that, well, mm-hmm. believe that when you feel like the person or the situation is not trustworthy, that is true.
That's my gut instinct.
And
all of it.
And, you know, there is a sense that you will ultimately be victorious, but it will take a bit of work and a bit of time.
Mm-hmm.
The nice thing is it seems that this person doesn't have much of a foundation to stand on. So I think that whatever illusion they have created or whatever lie they have created will crumble fairly quickly and easily once it's put to any sort of test.
Yes, I thought about going to his lawyer and saying, look, and I really don't have the energy to, because I don't want to file a civil suit against him. It's enough. Leave me alone.
Right. Well, so one, we don't need you taking on additional burden. Don't go and talk to his lawyer.
Okay.
If you want to file a civil suit, I don't know if you can do that on your own, but again, that would say why there's probably an importance for finding another lawyer.
Okay.
And because the big thing here is you've taken on too much already, and you know, taking on more is going to be like the straw that breaks the camel's back. You're just going to collapse under the weight of it all. And you need an opportunity to breathe and to grieve and to just be with yourself, to go through the process that you need to go through for your own healing. So we need to hand some of this work off to somebody else to do.
Right.
Thank you for joining us. This program was brought to you by Firefly Willows, LIVE. We hope you enjoyed the show. This is Deb Caracella. Please join us next time on Firefly Willows, LIVE, for Embracing Change, The Joy of a New Path, with Ivan Teams and John Caracella, Tuesday evening at 8 p.m.